Okay, the next thing is a liveness test. Are you getting bored? Why are you looking at your watch?
No, I just...
No. I think this is fascinating, and you're just like,
I'm just glad
you're awake, okay? I'm glad you're awake. So the next thing is a liveness test, and so what...
I'm alive.
So you press this, and maybe you can see this. Hopefully the internet will work here. Okay, so I have to move it closer to my face.
Breathe.
You know, I had to go through this for DoorDash.
Okay, so this is verifying that I'm a live person. Oh. And so it gives me a score down here at the end, 99% sure what?
Did you ever try it with like just a picture of your face?
I haven't personally tried that. I've tried it, and I'll show you some of the other checks that it has. So not only are we checking for liveness and making sure that this person is a real person, but we're comparing now in this step the portrait on the driver's license with the selfie. It's because it also takes a selfie image. Okay. And it does a check. It does basically a biometric scan of your face. And
so ID.gov does that too.
Yeah. Okay. So this checks, and this is the, let's hopefully have this little load. Okay. So it takes a little, I'm so good looking, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it takes both, and it tells me if it's a match or not.
Oh. Match with your driver's license.
If the face taken in the photo matches with the driver's license, it tells you if it's a match.
I'll tell you a problem, because we run into this with health insurance.
Wow.
Our driver's license lasts 10 years. If you go through a health event that changes the looks of your face substantially, it will not match with your driver's license.
Okay.
People that have...
Or if you're dead.
Be voting
anyway. No, it's not.
What if you're dead?
Yeah, if you're dead, it won't match.
Well, the liveness check will check if you're dead.
Eyes open.
Yeah, well, that's...
How does the liveness check work?
It basically takes a video, and it's analyzing frame by frame that there's movement. I'm using a plugin from Amazon that does this. I didn't create that from scratch.
ID.gov uses the same thing.
So not only are we comparing the face on the driver's license to make sure that, yes, that driver, like, I own that driver's license, that's me. But we're also keeping a database of other people in that it have registered. So what this prevents is you from creating more than one account.
Right.
Oh, right.
Because you could move somewhere and have a dual dual registration or two driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. Well, you can only have one account, so you got to choose. So this keeps and the reason that this says that it there's a duplicate detected is because I was already in the database and I created a new account, and so it was comparing my face against what was already in there. So this is another way to prevent duplicate accounts and to try to avoid that problem. Voting more than once. And then the last thing is the voter registration. We need to verify people's voter registration. So what this does is it will automatically detect. Right now I have to manually select it, but it will automatically detect what state was on your driver's license. And it will take you to every state except one that I can tell has a voter registration lookup. So where you put in your information and then press a button that says you're an active voter and this is some of the information. Excuse me. So for Utah, it pulls this up. Hopefully. So this is Utah's. And you put in your name and address and birthday.
For voter registration.
For voter registration. Then I have a button down here. Once that appears on the screen, I have a button that says capture. And it's taking a screenshot of the information that's on there. And then that information is being scanned. It's taking that information and it's comparing your name and address, if the address is on it, with the information we gathered in the driver's license step. So your address, your voting address, your voter registration address has to match with your driver's license address. Otherwise, you need to update one or the other, or else you can't. We're not allowing you to, they must match. Now, Utah has, for instance, students. There's a physical address, so that'd be like where your parents live or whatever. And then your mailing address. Like you could, if you're a student and you live out of state and want to vote, well, you can say, I'm living in Idaho now or whatever. Send that to me there. We have ways to figure that out. Yeah. And so there's, throughout this whole process, we're doing cross checks. We're making sure that you are who you say you are, that you're a live person, that you don't have more than one account, and that you're an active voter. And another check in here is that it will say you're an active registered voter. If it's lapsed, you need to go update it. And we'll have probably links that you can go to figure out how to do that if you don't know how. Now, yes?
Is it possible or even desirable to, after you get all the information from an individual to determine their voter, to create a QR code for that person?
For what purpose?
You just hit that QR code and all this information that was plugged in becomes available.
Available for who?
For you to determine if they're a good registered voter.
Well, we're going to have all of these checks that we're doing is marking it. Every time it's approved, it's checking a yes/no on the database. At the end of this, we will say yes, you are able to vote on this app, or it will say no, you're not able to, and this is the reason why.
What's the revalidation period?
Like, how often do we let them do it? Like,
because you got to check it once in a while, right? Once you're registered,
yeah.
You vote on each.
I haven't decided that.
Maybe
a couple years, because this takes like 2 or 3 minutes, and as long as your ducks are in a row, it shouldn't be a problem.
It's worth it for the right.
And to handle, you know, let's say somebody dies after they do this and their spouse or whoever has access to their phone, you know, we could put in checks that scans their face again when they place a vote. Or there are ways that we can do that, but for the initial app, I'm not going to go to that extent. I just need something that I can show people.
Right, that's a good start.
So you're saying, both of you are saying, like, yes, there are options out there that will kind of basically do the same thing. I'm creating it from scratch, number one, because it's significantly less expensive in the long run. Mm-hmm. I have spent several $1,000s to get to this point. But instead of paying $1.50, $3 per registration, mm-hmm. which happens in like a Verif, or because Coinbase uses a third party, I think.
Yeah. Eventually we could get there with enough support.
Well, I don't think we need... Well, with enough support, we could add additional checks to what I have.
It would be the system.
I would keep it proprietary because it'd just be easier.
What's
so I can
of the word?
Proprietary.
Yeah.
Ownership.
Yeah.
So I can do a check for about 2 cents with my app. So a person can go from start to finish. We are using a number of AI calls. And some people have a problem with that, like my brother did. He sent me his registration, and I ran it through AI. He flipped out. Well, there are. I'm using one from Amazon that is basically firewalled. It's not being used for training. It's like I'm the only one that data that I'm using.
Sandboxed.
It's sandboxed. It's firewalled, so to speak. So it's not going out and available for anyone for training or anything. Now, this is just. This is what's taken the longest time, is just getting these pieces all together. And first of all, I had to train myself on how to put it together.
And what you need.
But the next thing is to actually be able to place a vote. And that will actually probably be the easy thing of this app. So you live in a particular district in Utah, which is it the first, second, which do you know?
So I want to say it's the second.
I think I'm in the second, so you're probably in.
No.
Well, whatever the case. Based on your address, we can determine all of the voting districts that you're in. That's on a state representative level, a state senate, a city election, a county election, federal elections. Based on your address, we can determine a lot of things about who your representatives are. So let's say that I win, and I'm pushing this for everyone in my district. I can make sure that I'm only listening to people who I should be listening to that are in my district, who are registered voters in my district. Now, the part that we talked about before, which is we need to know that our vote counts, right? There will be a public but anonymized ledger like we have in Bitcoin. So as soon as you place a vote, I think we'll probably, it won't be the same voter ID each time. We'll probably change it just so that people aren't trying to figure out who you are. Because I think it's important that it be anonymous and not really easily traceable. But we have to have trust that our vote is being counted properly, and that, that only people who go through the same process are doing it. Because if somebody who is not in my political party was presenting something like this, I would go, no, I need to see why I should be able to trust this, and I need to be able to show that too, because people aren't just going to trust me just because I'm semi good looking. Oh, I am good looking. I'm not a semi. Yeah. Okay.
No, 100%.
Okay, thank you.
So you would start this in your district, and then you would expand it to the people of Utah, and then you would expand it to the people of the United States.
Well, whoever is interested. So we're not just going to, like I said before, we're not just going to pick representatives willy nilly, and we're not just going to say you're already in an office. Hey, would you like to do this? Well, if you have a track record of not understanding any sort of principle about the Constitution or about individual rights or about economics,
don't bother.
We'll probably have a committee that will help select the actual who we're going to allow to run. Yeah.
Based
and that
on
could be
criteria.
That could be state delegates.
Mm-hmm. Test.
That could be. I don't know that yet. I don't know how that will all transpire.
But there is a very simple protection. Once a representative doesn't vote according to the will of the people, he will boot it out.
Yes, this, well, not, he won't,
you'll know.
Not, I mean, yeah. He won't be kicked out immediately, but
right.
But this is the important, this is the important thing, that
you will not be able to re-elect.
That there will be a very public scorecard of if you voted with the majority of the people. And as long as you do that, now let's talk about what this is going to, many of the problems that it's going to fix. Ed brought up money in politics. Who's going to vote against somebody who's voting with the majority of the people all the time? Are you even going to run against them?
Maybe.
I mean, there could be an instance where you would, but it's going to be highly unlikely that as long as you're voting with the people and they're happy with you.
That's when they're going to try to change the districts.
And they could do that.
Yeah.
What other types of things is this going to help avoid? What other types of problems do we have that is going to happen? Okay, lobbying. Now, as citizen representatives, we're not going to prevent lobbyists from lobbying the representative. There will still be donations from outside groups to a representative for them to try to, the way that I see it working, and I'll get to in a second, the way I see it working, because I don't think it's right that we would prevent company, because companies are people too. Companies are groups of people. They're coming together to advocate for their own interests also. They should be able to address the representative or the senator.
I think we should take money out of politics so that the lobbyists don't donate
okay.
to try to influence the vote.
So
if this was implemented, money would be automatically taken out.
We're still going
to advertise to the constituents.
Yes, they're going to advertise to the constituents instead of directly to the representative.
Exactly.
But they could still try to influence the representative, because the representative will have a lot of power, and because they will be presenting any law that comes up as, this is why I think that this should be this way because of these principles that it is following or isn't. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic will change from just lobbyists, I can't say just, primarily lobbyists influencing the representative to the people influencing the representative directly. Did we move beyond what you were going to say? Or?
No. The other thing is, I think once these bills come up and you're looking at it in the app and it's 1,000 pages long, the voter's probably going to go and they're going to find one thing and they're going to go, nope.
Well, I think that's where you come to the way it's supposed to be. Most state constitutions originally had one bill per vote.
That's what I was getting at. So, yeah, it becomes a process where they go, we can't have 1,000 page bills. People aren't going to read it. They're just
one issue per bill.
One issue per bill,
not one bill per...
They're just going to reject it flatly. So that will make it...
That's his job. He'll be to take that 1,000 page one and say, well,
no,
I went through the whole thing,
this
is what I think.
I get the point. But this will also help...
That's the power of people voting in that case, because... If everybody votes against the bill just because it's too damn long to read, it's going to have to it's going to be a self-correcting mechanism.
Another thing that will be helpful is AI. Elon Musk has already talked about this, running these bills through X, and we can have our own. You can construct different AIs to do different things. So you can say, these are the principles that I have. Where in this bill are these principles violated? And you can very, very quickly throw a 1,000-page bill in there and go, oh, right here, it's saying this. And you can bring your bulleted points. It's gonna be a lot easier in some ways to do this. But I do agree with the sentiment that bills should be more specialized and just kind of one issue per bill. So that's basically what I have. Are there any questions? Yes.
What are you doing to protect against hackers?
So hackers, you just have to. I'm using Amazon primarily for the back end. So there's the front end, which is what you see on the app.
That's what the whole app is for, isn't it? To reduce the power of hackers.
Yeah. So you have to sign in. Like it's password protected. Okay. So there are different a number of different avenues that hackers use. But if you set up your system properly, it should be mostly. You can't ever say that something is 100%
hackable. But the database must be protected.
The database is encrypted. All communications to and from the app, to the back end and the front end of the app. So the front end, like I say, is on your phone. The back end are the servers in Amazon.
Yeah, when you
is encrypted.
When you look at PayPal and all the credit cards, they're not perfect, but they do a pretty good job.
And we largely trust those.
95% of cyber crime is human user error. So they social engineer people, and still phishing is probably the biggest.
Right.
And so if they can infiltrate that way, so you have to protect the people through multi-factor authentication.
Identity theft.
Do you know what phishing is?
Yeah, I think I just heard Bitcoin got hacked.
No.
Is that
what? What's phishing?
Phishing is when, let's say that you're dealing with Wells Fargo. A hacker will create an email that looks like it's from Wells Fargo and said, your account has been hacked. You need to hurry and enter your credentials. And they put a link there that doesn't take you to Wells Fargo. It takes you to their site.
Oh.
And then you put in your username and password, which then they take. And then they take that and log in themselves and then take all your money. So phishing is, they're phishing for people who are not tech savvy. And so we can, you set up ways, Adam mentioned something called multi-factor authentication. So let's say there's somebody in India, because for some reason there are a lot of scammers in India. They can get your username and address if you give it to them. But if then... like it sends a text message. You all know what this is. If it sends you a text message to your phone or an email to your email, which they don't have access to, then unless you give them that code, they will not be able to, even with your username and password, they can't get into your account.
Okay.
And if the system is designed well enough, that Wells Fargo, let's say, they would say, hey, there was a login in India, and we flagged this as a potential problem. So as long as I'm not just going to rely on myself, because I'm not a collegiately trained. This wasn't my degree, and there are very specialized people who will, and I will bring the app to them and make sure that at least on my side that there is not a problem. But with the built-in tools that I have, which is encryption. People aren't intercepting the messages between, and the user authentication is one of the main things. Like, we want to make sure that they are who they say they are, but then that the systems can't be hacked. On the back end of Amazon, you have very specific permissions that only, let's say you have a database with 1 million people. Well, the way that you set up the permissions is such that only the admins have access to this, and the individual user has only access to his data. And so, you could have, the only way I could really see this happening is if somebody hacked an admin or they blackmailed. You know, there's always ways to get to the back end. But we're going to take as many precautions as we can within the threshold that makes sense.
Yeah, as long as you're 99% there, your vote will pretty much represent the vote.
You have a question.
I do. So are you ultimately speaking, setting up like not a Democrat or Republican, but a citizen representative party?
No. I've thought about that, but we need another party. I think that parties will evolve, and once people start understanding the principles, like I talk about, the party itself will become less relevant.
Well, it won't matter what party he's in. If he represents it all,
it'll become.
He could run as a Democrat or Republican or Independent or Libertarian. If he represents the will of the people, it won't matter.
Right, but when you make this structure to be able to get other people besides you in it, right? Not just you, but other people. You have a structure. When you have the structure, then you've got a party.
Yeah, will still run in the short term. I don't know how long short term is, but in the foreseeable future as a Republican, Democrat, or whatever.
As that.
But let's say, for instance, in California, in certain areas, it's heavily Democrat. Well, I'm not going to, as the organization of citizen representatives, I'm, no offense to Democrats, I'm not choosing a Democrat to run there.
Why?
I would choose, because they don't, I don't believe that they understand the principles of good government. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to create any division here.
You just did.
But that's just my opinion. We can talk about it later. I want somebody who I believe understands cause and effect, who understands economics, who understands the way that things work rather than the way that things should work. Does that make sense? So a lot of what politics comes down to is, I think something should be this way, so therefore I'm going to try this. Not understanding that it doesn't work that way. This is the old feeding the bear in the forest, whatever.
Feeding the wolf.
If you constantly give some, you're changing behavior in ways that is not healthy for.
Sorry, were you saying that you wouldn't? I mean, anybody, any party could use this app, right? We don't care about that. Like, if Democrats want to use the app as well for their, and they want to, their constituents to vote that way,
they
want to
be representative.
Well, they wouldn't.
Because you want everybody to buy into this eventually, right?
Yeah, and I haven't fleshed out everything, like how the process. I wouldn't say that I would say this is a citizen representative's endorsed candidate. I would. We might still allow them to use it.
If they're using
like
the,
that.
If they're using the app, I mean, it doesn't matter what response they're going to get, right? But it gives.
It would get them in.
It buys them into the system, so that then.
Yeah, and we could talk about the strategy. That's more strategy.
I mean, it's a way to get to a greater determination of what the actual majority will of the country is, right?
Yeah.
Eventually.
And part of this is going to be polling also, because there are some things that won't be a bill that people should vote on. We would like to get sentiment, and this could also be a revenue stream for the app, which is this would be a highly accurate polling solution.
Oh, right.
So, there are a bunch of different things. There's a lot of. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. You know, I haven't thought about all of the what ifs.
Yeah.
What criteria would you use to bring in new politicians? They come to you and say, "I want it," or you go to them and say, "Will you use it?"
I tell you, once somebody gets elected on this system, it'll get a lot of publicity, and a lot of people will demand their representative.
How will I choose? And ultimately, I don't think it's going to be just me. Yes, I'm kind of heading this up.
Right.
So initially, it probably will be, but in the long, I don't.
So Thomas Massey, he would blow it out of the water.
But how do you pick the other ones? Because I would imagine somebody would come to you and say, "Hey,
yeah, I would like to do this." Well, we'd have to see what their track record is.
Why? Why do you have to see what their track record is?
I don't want somebody. I don't really want. And this may be kind of what Adam is saying. And maybe I'm wrong. I want somebody who is in the position of teaching. If we're in the position of teaching,
yep, got to be good teachers.
It's not just about good teaching. It's because you can be a good teacher, but teaching wrong things.
The argument would be that you're going to get, if it goes to, if it's a Democrat in this case, right, and their constituency is largely, we suppose, is largely Democrat, you're at least going to get that constituency to be voting on the issue, and you're going to get that politician away from the lobbyists and from the money.
For them it would be a learning curve.
And now they're
buying
that could be the way that it goes.
Eventually you want all Democrats and all Republicans on this system
to be citizens.
And then because then you get a really good gauge of the majority.
And that's a good point.
The original Constitution was not meant to have parties.
Right.
And if we could do away with parties and it's just based on
universally accepted, it wouldn't matter what party you're in.
All right, Marnie has a question.
I guess that's, I think my question's kind of tied into that, is how would the education part look? Like, are you going to have links? Are you going to do
videos?
Because I feel like the education part is a big part of it, because how would we ask them?
So, we'll create a page for each spot that is available to be voted on in the United States. Right now, we would just focus on the 435 representatives, the 100 senators, and say, this is the page for this district in this state, and currently it's occupied by this person, and they can, they could potentially claim that page and start reaching out to their representatives, or reach out to their constituents in that way.
You would put on the internet where your constituents could do them your experience.
And we could say, you need to at least listen to this 3-minute spiel by the politician before you vote. That could be a report.
And if you have a single page bill, it's going to be, to most educated people, it's going to be self explanatory anyway. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, and I guess that's where, when I'm coming to like Republican or Democrat, that maybe in the end it doesn't matter, because even if it's one or the other, whoever, they have to go convince the people who are going to vote why they want it that way. So they're going to have different opinions, but they have to like come to the table with an educated and persuasive argument as why you want to vote my way. And people may like, okay, say a Republican gives their bill over here and a Democrat gives it, and their people who are voting, it just doesn't resonate with them, one or the other, doesn't matter what. And so they're going to vote not the way maybe that that elected official.
So the way you could use the AI, like you were saying, if you put the correct principles into the AI and teach it correctly, it will spit out whether it's constitutional or not.
Yeah, and right now it'd be like 99% no, right?
Right.
So Idaho has a pamphlet that they mail out before an election.
Who?
Idaho.
Oh.
And it has the what the bill is, and then it has pro and comments on the pro, which is against the pro. And then it has con, negative, and then comments against that. So by the time you've read the whole thing, you've heard both sides of the argument and the rebuttal.
And we could create, like, this most, I know that it will just morph into something larger than what I think. We could have communities where, the discussion, because we need discussion, right?
Town halls,
we need
town assemblies.
We could have virtual town halls. We could call local ones. And I see this being as the hub for all of politics.
Yeah, the virtual town halls, I think, would be a good thing, because they could ask questions about it and you could answer it and give them an idea of why the bill is good or not.
Yeah, and hopefully we get to the point where it's just like, okay, this is a very simple bill. You don't need a lot of discussion.
There's not very many simple ones, unfortunately, in the Congress at all. many of them are like hundreds or thousands of pages. That's something to attack later, is the fact that there's so many things on one bill, like the Great Big Beautiful Bill had, similar to other bills, had all kinds of ingredients in. Some of them you liked, some of them you didn't like. And they eventually need to be broken up and voted on individually, but that is something that will take a generation or so to accomplish.
Well, it might be faster than that, because it's like a self-regulating mechanism where if people just reject good bills based on the size, you're not going to get anything passed. So it's going to force it to be to whittle down.
Yeah, that eventually, that might be the way that it will happen.
Emmanuel?
What's the name of it?
So the concept I'm calling Citizen Representatives, the app is called Voting Act. So it's like they're...
Hold on. And then also I was going to say, nowadays you can... I feel like more than ever that it's convenient that AI can be programmed to have sort of a little bubble of something that wants to help you guide you around the area, which they're talking about education all the time. But there's always that person who's like, do you need help? It's like, how can we help you? And they can ask questions and they can guide them around the app without, the people that are not.
Yeah, we could incorporate AI in there and program it to something
What if technology changes and the cell phone becomes like the 8-track and you're going to have to adapt to some new.
And we do like mind implants instead?
Yeah.
We adapt.
Holographic images right before us.
I don't know. That's too far out for my purposes right now. That's probably after I'm done. So in summary, I want to bring it back to a quote that JJ said earlier yesterday, which is, perfect is the enemy of the good. This system is not going to be perfect, but I believe that it will steer us in a better direction than we're going right now. You have to make compromises sometime. And if you're giving up, if you're so rigid in what you believe that you're either, so strict constitutionalist that nothing can happen unless it's 100% constitutional, that's missing the mark in my estimation. We need to steer the ship in a different direction, and I believe that this helps us steer a little bit better in the right direction. So, thank you.
Thank you.